Michael O'Regan's Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today.
Now, Michael, we'll talk about neutrality in a moment, but things not neutral at all in RTE this morning with this emerging and breaking scandal. And the politicians are quick to the mark in what they want to say and what questions they want to be answered. There'll be Oireachtas Committee hearings in relation to this, and imagine it'll be first up, perhaps maybe, or shortly first up in the Dáil next week when it resumes on Tuesday. But this is some right mess and the politicians want answers.
Yes, Gerry, it is. It's quite shocking, actually, and a massive, massive scandal for RTE, no doubt about it, because of the licence fee. And there must be people listening in this morning who faithfully pay their licence fees over the years, etc., etc., and they're wondering, you know, what was going on. And I must say, I agree with everything Brendan Griffin said earlier, and I can understand the annoyance of politicians who've had RTE in front of them, you know, with the poor mouth, and looking for a licence fee increase and saying that we're in financial difficulty. Yet, this quite astonishing deal behind the scenes with the leading presenter. So I think the politicians will look for answers, and they'll be looking for answers on behalf of the people, and they're quite right. One of the things here, Gerry, that I think has gone wrong from RTE since yesterday afternoon, and that is the current Director General is still in place. She's still Director General. She's about to leave. Now, apparently she's on a break, and there were, as you said earlier, there were drinks for her apparently the other evening, but she's still the Director General, and it should have been within the capacity of the board of RTE to say to their employee, the Director General, look, get on the media and explain all this. And what you had yesterday was some detail, quite shocking detail, revealed, yet no names named about who exactly agreed to this deal. And I take your point, actually, that this was, I presume, devised by management as a way of paying Ryan Turbidy extra money. But people are entitled to know who signed off on it.
Yeah, and
at senior level.
And where does that leave the issue of transparency? And politically, Michael, on this issue, I see several senior ministers quoted off the record today saying, well, this is the end of RTE getting any licence fee increase. I know that may be adding two and two together and getting five for me, because if there's an argument there that public service broadcast needs to be supported, then it needs to be supported. But it spells massive trouble now, and a massive, whatever about the breach of trust with the public, a massive fracturing of the relationship, such as it was between the Oireachtas and RTE.
Yeah, there is. There's no doubt about it. It's broken for the moment anyway. And I must say, Gerry, I don't see it realistic for RTE in the short term or even the longer term to go in to an Oireachtas committee or go to the government and look for an increase in the licence fee. I don't think that have any credibility. And of course, it also puts the focus on really, and I'm not singling out Ryan Turbidy because he's in the eye of the storm at the moment, but the absolutely astronomical fees and salaries paid to some people in RTE. I mean, it bears no relation at all to reality or to the job they do or whatever. There are a lot of very, very... public service broadcasting is hugely important. RTE does great work. Prime Time, for instance. The great work Katie Hannan did, you know, on the army and all that.
With the
Women of Honour, superb work.
Yeah,
and work that
wouldn't be able to be done without the resources of a large organisation and the time for journalists there to follow a story for months on end, which, just with the best will in the world, isn't always popular or possible in other broadcasters because of their size and financial details. So you need public service broadcasting. You need publicly funded public service broadcasting, but politically now support for that is damaged by what this scandal is throwing up.
It is damaged, and I feel sorry for the, you know, the rank and file journalists in RTE who are very professional and all that kind of thing. And you're right that public service broadcasting, because of the fact that they have some public funding, considerable public funding, they're able to deploy resources to do investigative work, which is not, as you know, Gerry, is not possible most of the time in the chilly private sector, you know, whether it's a commercial radio station or a newspaper. I mean, these are tough times in the media, very tough times for all media outlets. But RTE has been cushioned, perhaps rightly so, because it's public service broadcasting and it's important, by the licence fee. But now it's all blown up in its face, yeah. And it's looking bad for it.
And finally, Michael, on this, what does this say? Because politically, the idea of a charge or imposing a charge on people, politicians, ever since water charges, have run a mile from. For the last 10 to 15 years, it's been recommended by report after report after report that a broadcasting charge needs to be brought in. The licence fee needs to be done away with. A general charge on households needs to be brought in. If you are to properly fund public service broadcasting, and there is an argument from the independent sector, of which Radio Kerry is one, that more of that money should be going to support public service journalism, which is done to a high level in all of those independent organisations. That's a separate argument, but politicians have been kicking this one down the road. Yeah, we'll get around to that maybe in the next government. And the next minister comes in and says, well, I'm not going to be the minister who's going to bring in a new charge because it will be seen as a new charge. This pushes this further off into the sunset, doesn't it?
I think it does. And you're right. I mean, successive governments have failed to meet this because...
I remember Pat Rabbit, Alex White, years ago, launching reports saying, we'll look into this and we'll get on it right away. And it never happened.
And they do nothing. For instance, Virgin Media, I can remember participating in Virgin Media, then TV3 documentaries in its early days. And there were some excellent documentaries produced by a fairly small, what was then, a small commercial outfit based in a house in a...
an industrial estate.
An industrial estate in West Dublin. So, RTE doesn't have a monopoly of very, very good journalism. It's capable of excellent journalism, but it doesn't have a monopoly on it. And from that point of view, it is time that the broadcasting charge was spread around. Also, Jerry, things have changed. I mean, there was a time in this country where you had the national newspapers, you had the local regional newspapers, and you had the national broadcaster, RTE. You had no commercial television, you had no commercial radio. All that has changed now, and we're in a different media landscape with websites and, not to mention, of course, social media, which has its downside, but there you are. So we're in a different media landscape, but no government will actually recognise its responsibility in that changed environment.
Okay, we'll see where it goes from there. Michael, stay with us. If you have any views on it, get in touch with us in the programme. We'll be talking about protests and forums on our neutrality after we take these.
Michael O'Regan's Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today.
Yes, comment coming in here in relation to RTE. An extremely disturbing report on RTE last night about children in care being sexually exploited. Will the debate in the Dáil be on Monday be about Ryan Tuberty, about these vulnerable children priorities? Well, I'm sure both will be debated, listener, but I take your point. Very good work done by RTE. And that is, as other media outlets reporting yesterday, on the UCC or the UCD study, which found those very disturbing details. Hard to watch on the news, hard to look into the details that actually is happening, and big questions for Tusla out of all of that. We're in Call from the Dáil with Michael O'Regan. And Michael, the protest that took place at the outset of the Forum on International Security, or effectively the Neutrality Forum, as I'm calling it, to shorten it, started off yesterday. NATO, anti-war, anti-NATO banners being unfurled, students trying to shout down, or young members of different organisations trying to shout down the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin. What do you make of it all?
I thought it was appalling, Jerry. By the way, before I talk about that, Jerry, could I just remind listeners this morning, they'll be interested in this, the Kerry Association Person of the Year Award time again, and the Laoghaire Curie Award. That's the Kerry Person of the Year, the Laoghaire Curie. I know Marion Walsh was talking to Deirdre yesterday about it. And nomination forms can be got from by emailing info@kerryassociation.ie. The only thing I would say, Jerry, if there's a Kerry Person of the Year potentially listening in this morning, don't do what Con Hoolhan did when he got the Kerry Person of the Year many years ago. He said, this is a mistake, I'm from Cork. And there were minor coronaries, Jerry, among the Kerry Association people present. Then he corrected himself, of course.
I can
imagine.
Those
of us who know that he was a proud son of Castle Island. So that's all I say, Jerry, to anyone listening in this morning who maybe the Kerry Person of the Year, or indeed win the Laker Award. But yes, I thought that was quite disgusting, actually, yesterday. Look, everybody has a right...
Were they not entitled to protest?
They are, Jerry. They're entitled to protest. But... and they were entitled to picket, etc., etc. And by the way, they were entitled to contribute from the floor to the debate. But barracking the speaker at that time was Micheál Martin, and later, of course, the chairperson of Louise Richardson, distinguished academic who had already been insulted by the president, I think was unfair. That's a denial of free speech. I think there's a lot of hysteria, Jerry, about this. You know, some people suggesting we're on the march to joining NATO, etc. We're not. In fact, I suspect that what will happen with this series of seminars is that a report will go to the government eventually. Well, to Micheál Martin, certainly. He'll pass it on to the government. I presume the Dáil will consider it. But nothing will happen this side of the next general election because our neutrality and associated issues are such a hot political potato that the government won't want to tackle it. Mm.
Was it right that the protesters were removed by Gardaí? Or is that because they were heckling and preventing the event from continuing, to your mind?
Yeah, I think, look, it's unsatisfactory when the Gardaí have to move in, but I think the fact that they refused to stop heckling, that's why they're removed. And let's face it, Jerry, I've covered things like this in the past. Now, I wasn't there yesterday, but I've covered... Sometimes people who make that kind of protest, they want to be removed by Gardaí because it looks better, they feel, in the media coverage. Now, all they had to do was get the microphone and stand up, make their contribution, as Matt Carty did, the Sinn Féin spokesman, and say their piece. But preventing the speakers from speaking is actually a denial of free speech by any standards.
Michael, where does this leave the presidency and the president following all the week of controversy and the discussion and the personal abuse? It looks specifically online, and a lot of it happens anyway. You get abuse for everything these days online, directed at some of the participants as well. Did his comments enable that?
I think they did. I think there's a few issues here, Jerry, and I think they're quite serious for the presidency. There's a long convention. Okay, it's not in the Constitution, but there's a long convention that the office of the president is above politics. Now, there's no point in having a president if he or she thinks they can take on the government on various issues. You develop then into a bit of a circus, and also, of course, there's the potential there for a constitutional crisis, as Stephen Collins, in a very well-argued piece, says today in the Irish Times. But Michael D is well aware of the convention, that the office is above politics. For instance, a lot of people don't know this, but I think the presidency can't be discussed in the Dáil, for instance. If somebody tries to raise it, the Crown Corla will automatically say, the presidency is above politics, we can't discuss it. Now, that works both ways. The issue really is not Michael D's comments on neutrality. He may well have been right in what he said. The issue is that he openly criticised a government initiative on this. This was an initiative by the Minister for Foreign Affairs, who, by the way, has a lot of contact with the President of the day. Sometimes they go abroad together. And also, he's ill-timed and quite insulting remarks about Louise Richardson. Now, he apologised, sort of, for that. So the impression I get is that Mr Higgins may now feel he's bigger than the office.
Okay, Michael, a question in here from a listener. The Ryan Tubridy saga is nothing more than a distraction. It's chicken feed in the scheme of things. Where is the outrage and the public count committees and TDs on the radio sharing their outrage about the fleecing of Irish customers are getting from average prices being nearly 50% higher than the EU average? I know our politicians like to say we're the best in the world at this and the other, and truthfully, we're at the best in the world at nothing. Well, whatever about that, Michael, what do you make of it? And this puts pressure on the government, and there's been discussions about tax cuts and other things. Neil Richmond pleading with the retail forum members to please cut your prices more. Is that going to cut it for the Irish public, looking at these sky high prices?
Well, it'll be interesting if it will. I mean, politicians have expressed concern about prices and about gouging and all that kind of thing. Now, price control is not an option realistically, But I mean, there are other ways you can, you know, your tax breaks. You can look at tax breaks, etc., or the removal of tax breaks. But I agree with the listener on one level. I don't agree that, you know, that one that consideration of one excludes the other.
Mm.
But I do think there's a challenge here for politicians. I mean, I've heard very anecdotally people, for instance, who used to travel to football matches and might stay overnight, depend in various parts of the country, are now complaining about the cost of hotel accommodation.
Yeah,
That's rampant.
And did that spur Michael McGrath to say this week, everyone will get a couple of euro in the budget, there will be tax cuts, whatever the size of those tax cuts will be? Is he trying to jump in after Fine Gael started the ball rolling with that op-ed?
I think he is, Jerry. By the way, the budget is on October the 10th, so that's something now we can look forward
mark
to
it in the diary.
The summer. Indeed, mark it in your diary. It's very, very unusual for a Minister of Finance to be promising tax cuts so far in advance of a budget. But I think what he wants to do, and what he was doing yesterday, is to get in ahead of Fine Gael. Well, he's behind Fine Gael, but to make sure Fine Gael doesn't steal the government's clothes on tax concessions. So he was getting in the Fianna Fáil speak, as it were. And of course, his backbenchers would want him to do that. Mind you, Jerry, all isn't well within Fianna Fáil. The Ryan Tubridy controversy has temporarily obscured a bit of movement within the party this week.
Any truth to the rumour that you're running for Fianna Fáil deputy leader, Michael? There's a vacancy.
There is a vacancy, Jerry. My real interest is the presidency, of course. I want to be out in the middle of Croke Park welcoming David Clifford in the fullness of time. But anyway, at the parliamentary party meeting on Wednesday night, by the way, Micheál Martin, conveniently in London and government business, there was a demand that they appoint a deputy leader. No deputy leader since Barry Killeary stood down after the Golfgate controversy in Clifton. Now, Jerry, that was one event. That's clearly an implied criticism of the leader. Side by side with that, and I think the two events are related. Maybe I'm overly suspicious.
Okay.
But you had Barry Cowan saying that it's time Fianna Fáil analysed the recent poll results and its implications electorally for the party. Another shot across the bowels of Mr. Martin. So we'll watch this with interest.
We certainly will. Michael, we're out of time. My thanks to you for talking to us this week again with Call from the Dáil. It's Michael O'Regan with Call from the Dáil. If you want to view what he had to say, get in touch.